Welcome back to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. Science is full of passionate people, but sometimes scientists find their true passion lies elsewhere. Living Lab's producer, Elsa Partan, brings us one such story.
Shuzi Li had a career in science in the 1990s. She had earned a doctorate in physiology from Harvard University and was teaching biology at Wellesley College. But something was nagging at her. It was tango. In 2001, Li left science to teach tango, but 15 years later, science still finds its way into her teaching. Shuzi Li joins me in the studio now to talk about dance, the science of dance, and her dramatic career change. Welcome to Living Lab.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Just to review, tango started in the 1880s on the border between Argentina and Uruguay, and a tango craze spread through Europe and America in the early part of the last century. Let's listen to a bit of music from the king of rhythm,
Juan D'Arienzo.
1936, this was the golden age of tango. So the golden age of tango really ended around 1955, and the dance went into kind of a dormant period. How did you come across it?
I was at a dance week for Lindy up in the Northwest in Washington State, and there was a woman there, Nora Denzelbacher, who was teaching tango for the first time on her own. Her husband, unfortunately, had just died. It was a dance that at that time, very few people in the country were dancing. I started attending the classes and falling off with the dance and with the music.
And so you were already a dancer.
Yes, yes.
And this was during the swing craze of the 1990s. I remember Zoot Suit Riot.
Yes, yes, yes. Swing and Lindy were big crazes. Lots of young people dancing those styles.
Take us back to the year 2000. You're teaching biology at Wellesley College, and you're teaching tango on the side after having discovered it on the West Coast. What was your life like then?
Well, while I was teaching biology, it was very much full-time. I had very little time to do other things. And I received an invitation to teach at a national festival for a tango festival, which was one of the very first in the country specialized for social dancing. And I really, really wanted to go. Unfortunately, it was during Labor Day, which for an academic, that's the very worst weekend to get away. So I had to unfortunately decline. This was a Denver Labor Day festival. And I thought, well, what if I began teaching tango part-time and biology part-time, which is what I did the next year. And I was able to go to the festival. And from then, I received invitations to teach around the country. And it was a very easy transition to make.
And so you stopped teaching biology. Did you miss it?
I loved the teaching. And I was still able to teach while teaching tango. And I was able to use what I knew about physiology, about biomechanics, about how muscles worked, how we breathed, and how we moved, and incorporate that into my teaching of tango. And I was also able to work with people of all ages. So in addition to people who are college age, also to work with people who were up into their 80s, who could still dance.
Give us an example of a way that you use your knowledge of physiology in teaching tango.
One of the areas that I was interested in is how to move efficiently, and how to dance so that one's not out of breath, how to dance quickly, how to take fast steps. And a very important thing is the connection between couples. And a way to do it efficiently is actually working with the floor. And by having that connection, people were able to dance and communicate effectively and also to move efficiently.
It occurs to me, watching some clips of tango online this last week, looks like a really hard dance. Is that true? Does it take a long time to master it?
It does take a long time. People say that usually after 10 years, one realizes that one is still a beginner. But it's something that one can also begin pretty soon. They say that if one can walk, one can begin to dance tango. And the tango dance is actually a variation of the walk. So one of the things that is really important is that if one has a connection, one can communicate beautifully, and that's what's special about it.
I read there is a phenomenon called tangolates, a combination of Pilates and the fluid movement of tango. Was designed in 2004 and started as a rehab technique for patients with problems with the nervous system. Can you imagine tango being a kind of therapy?
Yes, I can. I think both from a physical point where people are using their muscles so that their joints get lubricated and that they can move efficiently, and also from a spiritual point and an emotional point, that can calm people. There is a very wonderful feel that after dancing for a while and in communicating with one's partner, that one can almost enter a state that people call, that's a very calming experience.
Kind of almost like a trance-like experience or
yes.
Something like that.
And that word actually has been described. There's a tango trance is a phrase that has been used.
So tango, you just said, if you can walk, you can tango. It's a dance that all ages can do. You're 61, is that right?
Yes, I am.
Obviously, that's not an advanced age by any stretch, but you still are at the peak of your dancing.
Yes. I am teaching, I'm performing, and I feel as if I'm able to do all the things I have been doing before.
You've taught all over the world. Where are some of the places you've taught?
I have taught, of course, across North America, in Canada and Mexico, and I've also been invited to teach in Singapore. I've been there 5 times. Have also taught in Kuala Lumpur and Hong Kong.
You were born in the United States, but you grew up with your grandparents in Hong Kong until you were 9. Is that right?
Yes, I lived in Hong Kong for 4 years. So I went there, started kindergarten in Hong Kong, and went up to 3rd grade.
Got it. Tell us more about that aspect of your life, because then you came back to the United States. Is that right?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
And lived in Philadelphia, went to college in Boston, and have been in the Boston area almost ever since. Went to graduate school there and then received a position teaching college at Wellesley.
It occurs to me that getting a PhD can be a very frustrating and exhausting experience for a lot of people, maybe especially in science, but across the humanities, I'm sure, too. Are you glad you got a PhD? And what advice would you give to people who are considering their career path?
I am happy that I got a doctorate. It allowed me to have some flexibility in what I wanted to choose afterwards. It enabled me to teach, which is what I enjoy teaching science, because I do love science and still love science. And I would advise people to pursue what would make them happy. And that may change over the course of one's life. It's not necessarily the thing that one might end up doing for the rest of one's life. But for the moment, I think it's really important to pursue what would be fulfilling for oneself.
And in your life, getting a PhD, did that prepare you to teach tango?
Not so much the process of getting a PhD, but the learning of science. So in the field that I was in physiology, looking at the relationship between form and function, I've always been interested in the relationship between how one moves and the structure of one's body, and that related very well to dance. Also, the conveying of knowledge through science helped a lot in teaching tango as well.
Let's listen to another one of your favorite tango pieces. And you can tell me about it after I play it. Okay, so tell us about this one.
This piece is played by the orchestra of Carlos Di Sarli. And later on, if one listened through it, the singer that is Alberto Podestà, who just died last year and had a beautiful voice and was really known for singing very romantic pieces. It's typical of the genre of tango, where it's talking about love and love that is lost, and also the desolation and coldness of lost love. And that's a very common theme in many of the tango lyrics.
Yeah. It's very soulful music, isn't it?
It's very soulful, yes.
I was reading about a group of people who formed something called the International Association for Dance Medicine and Science. And now you can even get a degree in dance science, at least in the United Kingdom. What do you know about this group and this idea of dance science?
I don't know specifically about that group, but I actually had considered a specialty in dance medicine earlier. I was accepted to medical school and was about to become a MD, but I decided that I really loved science, and at the last moment, a week before classes started, actually gave my place to somebody else. In that area, I was particularly interested in prevention of injury, and that is how my knowledge of biomechanics would have helped and been very relevant in how we could move without injuring ourselves. And this is also an interest that I have when I teach tango.
You have taught a wide range of people in tango in the last 15 years. What are some of the stories that have come out of your classes?
I have been touched by many experiences, both very, very happy ones, where people have found that tango has become a really, really important part of their lives, as well as very strong emotional connections and feelings that people have that tango places in their life. For example, I've had students where, when they have experienced a loss of a parent or a sibling, that one of the first things that they wanted to do was to come to class, to dance, to feel the embrace, to feel the music. And the dance has become a very special part of their lives.
You've also had classmates fall in love?
Yes, I have. I've had a number of people who have met each other in class, fallen in love, and gotten married as well.
Do you feel like your career has really fused science and dance in a way that you're happy with, or do you still feel like there's something that you have yet to accomplish in science or dance?
I'm really, really excited and have been really happy being able to combine both of my loves, both science and dance, and it's a way that I would not have expected when I was in graduate school. There was no way that I thought that I would even be able to have a career in dance. So this has been a really nice combination of my two loves.
Shuzi Li is a PhD physiologist who left teaching biology to teach tango full-time and still uses her knowledge in teaching. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
That was Elsa Partan speaking with tango master Shuzi Li. And that's our show. Until next week, this is Living Lab. You can always find Living Lab Radio on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab is produced by Heather Goldstone and Elsa Partan. Mindy Todd is the executive producer. Major support for Living Lab comes from the Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet. Additional support is provided by Lee McGraw and the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation.